It is great to see you tonight, and we're trusting the Lord to just bless your soul for coming. Amen. Great crowd here tonight, and I guess you didn't get the news that Brother Sutherland wasn't going to be here. So I get to preach to y'all. Amen. I won't be Brother Sutherland. There's no way. There's only one. But I'm going to try to do what I can. Amen. How about you? Praise God. I'd sure love to see the Lord help you tonight. I got a burden for you to see that happen. And try to preach something out of the good book. Good to see all these preachers. All these stood up and some that didn't stand. I forgot to stand too, brother, just to be honest with you. I'm sorry about that. But we're glad to see all these preachers. And such a good crowd here tonight. Let me ask this question before we preach. If Jesus was here, what kind of meeting you think we could have? I want you to think about that. If Jesus was here, what kind of meeting could we have? When I thought about what I'd like to see happen in this service tonight, I've been thinking about it for a good spell now, from 4 o'clock this morning and on through. I think I might have quit thinking about it during lunch for a few minutes. But I've been thinking about it, and I finally came to the conclusion, you know, if Jesus was here, he'd know what to do. If he was here, he'd know what to say. If he was here, there'd probably be no sick go home. Sick. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what are we going to say? If Jesus was here, let me ask you, is he here? The Bible said that where two or three are gathered in his name. Now look, if I get out of here, I don't want y'all to say amen. I want you to frown at me if I'm out of the Bible here now. I don't want to preach out of the Bible, but I believe the Bible said where two or three are gathered in his name, what did it say? All right. I believe one scripture said, the Bible said, let us feel after him. Less happily. Now that word, I believe that means, less happily means there's a possibility that we could find him. For where is he? He's not very far from any one of us. I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't do anything to help you. And y'all want your offering back. I can tell the way you're looking at me. But he can. Now that excites me, just knowing he can, and he's within reach. Praise God. Now that changes my whole outlook on things. I tell you. I've got a habit, and I get to preach and get carried away, and you know, one man said that anything you said under the anointing, you didn't have to be responsible for. So I don't always think that's the way it is. Praise God! But I get in the habit, and I say, I wish I could preach, and that's got to be, you know, folks really gouge me over that. I've had several ask me not to say that, and I try not to say that. One little boy down in Arkansas, he said, do you know how many times you said, I wish I could preach? And I said, no, I don't know. He said, it was a lot. He said, don't you know you only get 3 wishes? I guess he thought. But I'm just going to tell you how I feel. When I get to preaching, I'm going to read a text here in a minute. When I get to preaching, Brother Meekum, I feel more inadequate sometimes the farther I go. Amen. Are you understanding? And I don't know of a preacher anywhere when he gets done preaching says, got that done. Do y'all know anybody? I don't know anybody that leaves the pulpit thinking that they really got it done. And I'll tell you why. Because their job is so much different than any other business in this world. You may go to working on the plumbing and get it done and say, good day's work. But when you're reaching for souls of men, it seems like there's always one that goes out unsaved. There's only always one. You never get their attention. And you know, as a pastor, it seems like a lot of times, I mean, it's bad. I know it's bad. But you can have 40 people shouting and four pouting, and you're looking at them four. What's the matter with this bunch? Huh? Isn't that right? You're wondering, what's wrong with this dead crowd? You know, 40 people shouting and four sitting there, but you zero in on that one that you say, they're not getting this. That's why when I get to preaching, sometimes I say, you're not getting this, are you? And some of them aren't listening enough to even answer me. And then a lot of times I'll say, you're not, but it's not your fault. I feel like, but I'll tell you what, I've got a burden tonight to see somebody get this tonight before we get done. Now, what is it they're trying to get? Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't have an agenda. I don't have it. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a program. I don't have a little clique or a cult or an organization or a something that I'm trying to promote for me. I don't have it. I don't have it. I ain't got it. I don't even know. I wouldn't even know how to start building something like that. I don't even know. I wouldn't want it. I'm here. I'm gonna try to preach this book right here. Amen. And what you need, you don't need Randy Webb in the sense, but you need Jesus Christ. And I feel like a lot of times we come to these meetings, and Brother Sutherland, I've preached for him several times, and he used to have over his pulpit where no one else could see. The crowd couldn't see it, but there was a big sign up there hanging behind the beam, and it said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Yeah. Now, boy, there's a good thought. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, I could pull out, I go to meetings, Brother Hale, a lot of people here I know, and I love you, I'm glad you're here. But I've been to meetings, and people would gouge you, Brother, and they'll say, you got that old big one ready? Did y'all hear me? They'll say, you got that old big one ready? And you know what they're saying is, you know, who in the world knows what a message is going to come out like? You know, you can pump it up, put the powder in it, load the gun, pump it up, pull the trigger, and it's like one of them little guns that a flag comes out and says, bang. Huh? Or you could get you one of them, Brother Kyle, like that guy told me, his true story, said it. He had this old shotgun, and I used to hunt with an old Remington, had the extra long barrel on it, and had a hammer on the side. Anybody ever remember them old shotguns? Now, I'm going to tell you, you didn't have to really be good at it. You could just throw that thing up toward the tree and shoot and listen for the squirrel to fall out. I mean, it would just get them out of there. But this old guy had one of them old-time shotguns, and it'd kick, and you know, this guy didn't think it's money. He said, can I shoot that? He said, no, it does kick, and he said, and he took it out there and he jumped up on a log, which he shouldn't have done. And when he pulled that trigger, and he didn't know anybody was watching him. He just took it out and he didn't know this guy slipped around and was watching him. And he said he pulled the trigger on that thing and it kicked his feet out from under him. He went back and hit his head on the ground. The shotgun fell on his face and said he pushed it off of him, looked around, hoping nobody had seen him. Rich Roman got a stick and punched that gun. See if it's going to go off again. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of message I'd like to have tonight. I'd like to pull this trigger, and then it'd be so powerful that I'd just get off and see if there's any life in it yet. I want to tell you something. I don't know what you come to do. This ain't like a theater where you buy a ticket. I know most everybody paid a dollar, but it ain't going to be no show tonight, huh? We didn't buy no ticket. I didn't come to entertain you tonight. Amen. I can't do it. I can't juggle. I can't play music. I was in the fourth grade when I learned to whistle, huh? And it's a girl taught me how to whistle in the fourth grade. And I am not musically inclined. Amen. I'm not here trying to, as Brother Gabbard says, bless you or impress you. Amen. I do like friends. I told him, I said, I'm going to come over early tonight, make as many friends as I can before I get to preaching, because I'm going to need them. Hallelujah. So I hope y'all, how many friends have got out there tonight? Amen. But I'll tell you what. Amen. I want to preach good in the sense of the Lord moving and getting in it and the anointing coming upon you. Amen. But, brother, it's Jesus we come to see. Can somebody say amen? And if we can feel after Him and enough that we can come, hey, we are wasting our precious eternal time, amen, to come to church and just brag on each other and share that our favorite pet doctrine, amen, that we protect so fervently. How is somebody say amen? Amen. I think it's time that we pulled up the stakes and lengthened our cords, amen, and had a meeting where Jesus comes. Woo! Hallelujah! I'll tell you what this preacher needs. This preacher needs Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I got a feeling that's what you need too. They did a survey. I'm going to preach out of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. They did a survey the other day. And Brother Prescott, I heard his radio program today. If you haven't heard it, tune in on W-A-T-E. Two E's. Double E on the end. Double E. It's a good message. I got to hear it today. They did a survey and they asked people what they thought about Jesus Christ. What was their thoughts about Jesus Christ? And over 80% thought well of Him. So the next week they did another survey of what people thought about Christians. There wasn't, but just a few percentage thought well of them. Do you read me? Something's happening in translation. From Christ to Christian, people have a different attitude about them. How did that happen? Y'all sitting quiet. Brother, this world needs to see Jesus. I need Jesus. I need what He can do for me. I may have talked too long here. I'm going to the book of Acts chapter 3. I love you, and I really do. And I want to try to help you tonight. And I really, if the Lord don't help me, I can't. I don't know how. But I want to preach on this tonight. And if there's anybody in this house needs God, I hope you get Him before you leave here. Well, that just excites me to know that He's just not very far from any one of us. That excites me, brother. Because I tell you, I'm going to need Him. And I know I'm going to need Him. And I know that I can reach and feel and press and find Him. Because He wants to be found. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I can't hardly get over that. Maybe I should have preached on that tonight. But anyway, I want to go to the third chapter of the book of Acts. And I don't really know about titles. I love titles on sermons because a lot of times that's all people remember is the title. And if I don't have a title, they don't remember anything about it. If I had a title, maybe I can think of one. How about the tape man? I'll put you in charge of a good title, okay? All right, here we go. Third chapter. Now, everybody here tonight is familiar with Acts chapter 2. How many can quote Acts chapter 2, verse 1?
Class.
It's not recent. Let the Lord start all over. Huh? Somebody, give me the first few words of it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, how many knows that verse is all power in that verse? I'm not going to preach from the second chapter. I'm going to preach from the third chapter. And I think when you open up in the third chapter, amen, you're going to see that the day of Pentecost is still here. Hallelujah. It's not only fully come, it hadn't gone anymore. Amen, because these men, amen, are full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I take my time? Where's that mic at? Let's go. I remember working with that Baptist man, and he said, that Baptist brother said he had an anniversary, and he may have heard me tell it, but he said he had an anniversary, and I thought he was talking about a wedding anniversary. I was talking about a spiritual anniversary, and I said, I do too. I never thought. And he said, oh, you got married on this day too? And I said, no, a spiritual anniversary. And he said, oh, you got saved on this day? And I said, no. I said, I got the Holy Ghost on this day. And he went and shaking his head. He didn't think I had, but it was too late. So when he went shaking his head, I just said, whoa, you might as well quit shaking that head. You know him, if I tell you. And I said, I've already got it. You're too late, praise God. I've already got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. How many is glad you got it? How many is glad, amen, that the day of Pentecost had fully come? And how many is glad it hadn't left yet? It's still here. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad it's more than just on the sign at the churchyard. Aren't you? I'm glad it's right on our life. All right. Now listen to this right here. Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Praise God. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Praise God forever. Such as I have, give I thee. And now look what happened. The Bible said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Praise God. And let me read a little more. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, boy, I'm not a real patient man. I like this immediate stuff, don't you? Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate, and they were filled with wonder. Well, brother, that's what I like to see happen in this place tonight. They were filled with wonder and amazement. Whoa, sweet Lamb of God. Now I wonder about this world, amen, that we're living in. When they look at us, are they filled with wonder and amazement at what's going on in our lives? Amen. Come on now. Amen. I'd like to preach to us, and I really covet your prayers, but I want to preach on this little phrase, amen, where Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. Praise God. Now, I know that, amen, they have just came from a Holy Ghost meeting, and I know that it's a wonderful thing. And they've been filled with the power to preach the gospel.
Amen. And now they've. I want you to notice, brother, when these men said, "Such as I have," amen, they realized, amen, that they did possess, amen, something of power, amen, and of value, amen. I want to ask you something tonight, amen. When they said, "Such as I have," amen, that they realized, they said silver and gold, amen. They told them right off what they did not have, amen. They said, "We don't have silver and we don't have gold, but we're not completely bankrupt." Hallelujah. Oh, I wish somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that many times people look at their church and they look at their small building and they go by and look at the mega church. Amen. And all of that. And they may say, "Well, we just don't have anything." Amen. Come on now. If we don't have a big number, amen, we get to feeling we don't have anything. But brother, we don't need to despise, amen, the day of small things. Amen. Come on. I know if our small number, amen, is because of our laziness and our lack of power and our lack of burden, then we're in trouble. But not always does that small mean we do not have anything. Praise God. Amen. These men, amen, knew that they had something. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight in this little church house here, do you realize, amen, that you do possess something wonderful? Praise God. I'd love to preach to you today. Such as I have. What do you have tonight? What do you have? With all this gathering, what do we have? Oh, I know it's good to have a praying mama and a praying daddy and a good pastor and friends that know the Lord. Amen. But what about you? What do you possess today? Do you have anything that would be a benefit, amen, to somebody that's lame, somebody that's down, somebody that's in trouble? Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to feel like preaching when the Son of God, I don't want to get too loud, but could I, just a little something here to keep me busting my voice out. It don't have to be, that's good, good enough, good enough. Now, if I hurt your ears, we'll pray that the Lord heal you. Hallelujah. How's that? Amen. But I want to preach to you. Amen. I thank, amen, Brother Roger. Amen. Your dear old daddy. I loved that man. I loved him. I loved him. Nobody like him. Amen. You're not even like him. They don't make it ever like him. Amen. I loved him. Amen. I went to his church. I don't know if I've told this here or not. I was preaching revival for him. He had got some people saved. And boy, you know, he had a tough go of it right there. But buddy, I'll tell you one thing right now. In that whole city and all them people whizzing by, there probably wasn't a better man in the whole city and sat right there in that little old church house and couldn't get nobody hardly come. I was preaching revival, and there's a man walking, amen, back and forth in the church. And I asked him, and the woman was praying up front. And I asked him, "What's going on here?" He said, "Well, this woman's praying for the Holy Ghost. That's her brother." And so on. Here, I won't say too much. You may know who I'm talking about. Amen. But I went back. Said he got saved about 3 weeks ago. I went back there and just slowed him down a little. And I said, say you got saved a few weeks ago, brother." He said, "Yeah, I did." And boy, he's a little grumpy about it. And so I backed off a little. I said, "Say you got saved a few weeks ago." "Yes, I did, and I haven't had nothing but trouble ever since." And I thought, brother, he tried to warn me, you know, when Brother Powers did. And he said, "I'll tell you one thing about her. If she don't hurry up and get out of here and get to the house, she's going to get a whooping when she gets home," talking about her husband getting on. And I said, "This man, listen, amen, I don't know if he's really got, amen, what he ought to have." Now, I didn't mean to be judgmental and critical, amen, but I'll tell you what, when you get old-time religion, brother, you make a possession. Somebody come on now. Amen. These men, they knew they didn't. I think we major sometimes on what we do not have, and we do not major on the blessed thing that we do have. And what we have is not silver and gold, but we have something that can cause the down to get up. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching to you a little bit here. Praise God forevermore. Such as I have, give I thee. Brother, what did these men have? What do you have? What do these men have? Number one, I want you to notice what they had. The Bible said Peter and John went up together. Now that is something. Because just a few chapters before, they weren't really together. Y'all quiet in here. That's okay. You know, just a few chapters before, Peter had said to Jesus, "What shall this man do?" And he said, "What is that to thee?" Amen. Which of us will be the greatest in the kingdom? Huh? Well, come on now. That's what they said a little bit before. Amen. Come on now. Praise God. But now, amen, and both of these men had brethren that were disciples. Peter had Andrew, and John had James. But these men now have brought a bond, and you'll see them as this New Testament. That Holy Ghost has reached into these men that did not have family ties, amen, and put them together to where they were going up. These men had a fellowship. Amen. I want to ask you, amen, since you got saved, what do you have? I tell you what I've got. I've got a fellowship. Amen. I've got brethren. I've got sisters. Amen. I've got a church. I've got a family. I've got members in particular. I've got somebody praying for me. I've got somebody preaching to me. I've got somebody to go to the house of God with. Hallelujah. What do you have? Oh, the devil, Brother Graham. I love you. Glad you come. Even if you did come here, Brother Benny. Amen. We'll just pretend you didn't. Hallelujah. I love you, brother. And I'll tell you what. When I got saved, amen, am I doing any good yet? Another one of my habits. I got to say that. But I when I first got saved, I had some old buddies in the world. But, buddy, you couldn't count on them. You couldn't count on me. If it got hot, it was every man for himself. I'd heard the word love, but it was usually some old story or some old fake thing, something about love, some old movie. Yeah, I've never really seen love. Hey, man, this old devil can come around and tell you, you ain't got nothing. And you know, I've just learned enough in my old age to say, if I ain't got nothing, why do you want it so bad? Huh? If this ain't nothing, if what I got ain't nothing, it ain't worth talking about. Why do you talk about it so much? Now, y'all ain't help me now. Amen. Come on now. I want to know, what do you have? We come to church, we're almost like, amen, that convert of Brother Wayne Powers. Amen. He's got religion and he ain't been nothing, amen, but trouble for him ever since. But I'll tell you what, I may be broke as a convict here tonight. Amen. Come on now. But I'll tell you what I do have. Amen. I've got old time religion in my soul and it keeps me happy. Hallelujah. Yeah! I said it keeps me happy. Praise God. Now, that's the one thing, and you know, I hate to be ripped off and hate to be stolen from, amen, but I'm going to tell you, if the devil comes and steals every dime you got and even takes your health, amen, where you can't breathe good and stand up straight, brother, I was just in the nursing home visiting a lady a few months back, amen, she'd been a good old soul, amen, and she had circulation problems, amen, and she'd lost one leg, and then after years, they took the other leg off, and there she was in that nursing home, been there for 7 or 8 years, amen, and she got her mind got bad. That circulation got, she didn't hardly know, amen, who I was when I go see her. Amen, but listen, amen, I sat by her bed, they called and said, "Brother Randy, I think she's going." And I went up down there and laid that little lady, amen, just about that long. Amen, no legs. Her mind had gone long ago. Amen, but I'm going to tell you something. I held that little grandma's hand. Amen. And all of a sudden, the children were sobbing quietly, and Grandma breathing heavily. And then in a second, I felt the Holy Ghost come in that room. Are you listening to me? If I know the Holy Ghost, I felt Him. Amen. Come in that room. And at the same time, the Holy Ghost came in that room. Amen. Grandma quit breathing. And the angel's wings fluttered. And down they came. Amen. She didn't have no legs. She didn't have her mind. But brother, she had something. Amen. She had old time religion. And an escort to heaven. Sometimes we need to just stop and say, what I have out of it. Silver and gold have I none. But I wonder if you'd done inventory, Brother Sheldon, and said, sir, you have your choice. I can give you this arm of $100, or I can give you your legs. I was listening to a Baptist preacher preach one time, and he said this was the only place where a man asked for alms and got legs. I thought that was kind of a little cute play on words there. Huh? I want to tell you, you know what this world's asking for? They're asking for alms. Just a few pennies. Just make me feel a little bit better. I tell you, you may be saying, I wish my ankle would hurry up and heal. But you know what He's going to do? He's going to give you a brand new body if you can stay faithful to God. Amen. Come on now. I wish I could. I'm about to feel like walking, amen, these seats here, but it might be a little dangerous. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, the Holiness Church needs to take an inventory and realize, what do I have? Amen. I have, John had a brother that would go up to the house of God at the hour of prayer. He still had his devotion. Amen. He had his dedication. He had his fellowship. He was still in church. How about you? Do you have it today? What does he have? What does he have? I'll tell you, when I look at this right here, sweet Lamb of God, listen to me, please, to you. When I look at this scenario right here, and I put it on the scale of value, and I compare what they had with what they did not have, I'm going to say they're rich in faith and hope and love. They got more than their share. And they're moving to a mansion just over in glory. I'm a rightful heir. I want to tell you, what have you got? I've got a kinship with the Son of God. Little kids, they really don't know the value. They can't, you know what I mean. My little girl growing up, and maybe times I'd get a little extra dough, and I'd take her somewhere and buy her a little something, take her to the Dairy Queen, and get her an ice cream, and she wasn't expecting that, and she'd just say, Daddy, are we rich? And what was I going to tell her? No, baby, we're poor. Uh-uh. I just said, baby, we're richer than you realize. You ain't helped me. I said, we're richer than you realize. You say, well, brother, amen, I don't have a whole lot of money, but what do you have? Do you have a happy marriage? If you're sitting next to your companion, just reach over and take this great possession by the hand and squeeze them gently and say, I may not have enough money to buy you a steak dinner, but I've got you. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I wish you'd help me preach. Amen. You come in the house of God and you may realize, what do you have? Amen. You've got a home church that loves you and appreciates God and will preach holiness. Hey, come on now. Amen. Such as I have, give I thee. what they had, not only gave this man finance for an hour, it gave him back his ability to be a man, to work, to labor, to make a living. Down in our country is a rough place to live. It's a rough place to make a living. A lot of the men in there are disabled early in life. Coal dust on their lungs. Bad backs. Working, you worked in the mines. I didn't work much in the mines. I worked hard, but I'd rather work hard 2 days as a half a day in there. I have claustrophobia at times. I don't like darkness. And I worked one shift or two building stoppings in the mines and working bent over in the water up to your knees, and you bend over and lay them stoppings up, bent over. I couldn't hardly walk the next day. Hard work. And them men, they can't breathe. Now, if you'd ask them, sir, do you want a good check to the rest of your life, or would you rather have your health back? Huh? Now, what do you think them men are going to say? Huh? They're going to say, if I could breathe, you wouldn't have to give me this check. I'd go back in there and work my own check out. I want to tell you something. This man right here, amen, he had been lame, amen, a long time. I tell you, we have almost looked at this world that we live in, and we've almost said they've been that way so long, there's no help for them. But I'm going to tell you, when you go to the house of God and you hear some preaching and you feel the Holy Ghost, amen, you change your way of looking. Amen, come on now. And you go out there in the world and you see a lame man, and they're looking really at you, church, and they're expecting to receive something. And what I'm saying in this hour, we don't have what we ought to have. Or come on now. Amen, this world wouldn't go away, amen, in such trouble. I think the first thing we need to do, amen, we need to claim, amen, our possession. Amen, God intended for us to possess this old-time religion. Amen, it's not a little devil, do you? Or run by, drive by a Christian, drive by on Sunday, get a few dollars in the tank, run it out by Saturday, and drag back in. He wanted you to have it. He wanted you to possess it. Hallelujah. Oh, boy, I'm running out of time tonight. What do you have? What did these men have? They had fellowship, and they had unity. They had devotion. They had character. And they had power. You remember, I don't have time to thumb into all the Scripture. Jesus called 12 disciples, and the Bible said he gave them power. What did they have? They had power. Where'd they get it? Ye shall tarry at Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. They had it. Oh, that was on the day of Pentecost. It's still the day of Pentecost. What do you have? The Bible said, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What am I? Brother Yates, God bless your good heart. I love you. Praise God. What do you have? What do you have? Don't let me spit on you here, brother. I'm going to move back out in front here. Church membership. Where's my card? This world is looking for something I went to preach a revival for a preacher down in Florida. Good to see you. And he sat on the foot of the bed, and he said, this old preacher, he was an unusual guy. I was unloading my suitcase. He said, you know, have you ever heard that old saying, the evangelists don't bring revival in his suitcase? And I had my suitcase there, and I was an evangelist. And I smiled. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, yeah, I guess it is. He said, but we are expecting something out of you. Come on now. You say I'm just a child of God, huh? I went to church when I was a young preacher up in the mountains up there. I'll take you sometime on a tour where I started out. I think I was at Brown Ridge, and I was out there in that little old church. And no, it wasn't. I can't tell you now. I'm getting ready to slander the whole bunch, and I don't want you to know where it's at. I went in there, and I went in, and immediately when they seen me come in, I could feel it tighten up on me. And I felt like they had invited me to come and preach, but the very one that invited me, they didn't really have a pastor. The one that invited me wasn't even there, so I was in trouble. And I made a bad mistake of wearing one of these holiness necklaces here. And boy, they sit on me, Brother Peach. And they didn't. That not only did they not ask me to preach, brother, when they seen me come in, and it wasn't prayer time, they got on their knees and began trying to cast me out of that place. Well, I don't know why I told this. It's not in my notes. But there was a preacher, and I'll never forget this. But there was a preacher there that knew and could see what was always going on. Matter of fact, they asked him to preach in my place. And he whispered in my ear as he was going up to preach. And he said, despise not thy youth. And so, and I didn't really understand that. I do now. What he was trying to say was, you know, you're young. These people don't trust you. They don't know you. And don't despise it. Rather be thou an example. And what that scripture says, you may be young, but God is expecting something out of you. Rather be thou an example in holiness and purity and righteousness and faithfulness. Come on now, church. I think we've lost this. I think we come to church empty and we say we don't have anything. Amen. But I got news for you. Amen. These men, the Bible said Christ gave them power over unclean spirits to heal all manner of diseases. I wish I'd say amen. We've almost got out of this. And we realize when we look at the mega church and we feel like the meager church and we forget that I do. I do have something. I've got old time salvation. I've got power with God. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's what this world needs. Hallelujah. Can I preach a little while? I need to go to point number 14 right quick here. I want to preach to you if I can. What do you have? Such as I have. What if you could you say that to this world today, the lame? That broke my heart, Brother Meekum, when I read this today. When I pondered this man, oh, he was a man from his mother's womb. When that baby was born, they realized when he got up a year old, something wasn't just right. 2 years old, when the other little boys was running around, he wasn't running around. And after 3 years old, they realized that he probably was never going to walk. Amen. He couldn't go to school. He couldn't help around the house. Amen. He wasn't much help. And then this here touched me. When it said they carried him. Brother, a man don't like to be carried. And here it is, they carried him. Amen. They carried him every day. And this is so ironic. They carried him every day and set him by a beautiful gate. Now, boy, that is a contrast to me. Amen. That man looked at his life and he could see nothing beautiful about his handicap. There's a lot of people come to church and we're up here jumping and shouting and saying, hallelujah, and it's wonderful. And you leave out of here saying, what's so wonderful about it? I can't walk. I can't work. I can't labor. Somebody has to carry me everywhere I go. I'm just a beggar. Amen. Alms. Alms. I'm going to church tonight. Why? Same routine. Alms. Get a shilling in a cup. Get enough to get through. I'm no more than a beggar, a cripple. I'm a burden on society. did not have the silver and gold, but within their heart, amen, they had been given the power to change this man's life, amen, forevermore, and to reach down to a reaching up world that's begging, amen, give me a way out of this, amen.
Y'all feel that? Give me a way out, brother. I'll tell you this, preacher. If God has given me anything at all that I can give someone, here's my next point of my message. Not only did they say what they did not have, they showed him what they did have. But here's the connection in this scripture that you've got to see tonight. They said, such as I have. They knew what they had. Give I. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you haven't learned that concept. You say, well, what do I have? Do you have the grace of God in your life? Then be a steward of grace. Do you have forgiveness? Then be an ambassador to the message of forgiveness. Oh, come on now. Amen. I love the story of Caleb when he walked around in that land. Amen. And God had told him when he came back with a good report, wherever your feet trod, I'm going to give that to you. And he did. It took him 40 years in the wilderness and several years of fighting, but finally he came to Joshua and he said, you heard what Moses said. I want that mountain that's mine. And you know, God gave it to him. I love this story. But the story does not end there. Amen. He did take his possession. Even the giants of Anak couldn't stop him. Amen. So he took his mountain. He took his property. He took his possession. I think sometimes you have not taken your possession. You can't tell the world, I have this. Because you don't feel the ownership. You don't see, amen, that we have an earnest of the Spirit. You don't see that our names are written in heaven. You don't see that He has given you power. Amen. Come on now. Oh, but what you really need to realize, amen, is Caleb, once he got his possession, amen, look what happened. He said, whoever goes into this girl is this giant, I will give him my daughter. Othniel did it. He married his daughter. Next thing you do, you see this little girl coming down after her wedding, riding upon a donkey, and she sees her father, Caleb, and she gets down off of that donkey like little girls do. Amen. My little girl can come to me and says, Loretta, pull on my coat, say, Daddy. Yes, my princess. I told you about when she's little. Did I tell her here? She's just little. She hadn't really learned to say big sentences. Did I tell us last night? And she never did like to sleep by herself. She's just a little old kid, little old baby. And I'd put her in her bed at night, and I'd go on to bed and cut the line out. And she never had slept all through the night, Holly told. She's left a big girl. And she'd get in there, and she'd say, she'd go to sleep, and I'd go to sleep. And then a little bit, I'd hear something. And I'd wake up, and I'd hear that little voice over in the dark in the crib. Daddy. And then she'd say one more word. This was her whole vocabulary. Me. That's it. Now what effect do you think that had on me? Have y'all ever heard that old story about that guy who went in a phone booth and come out? When I heard her say, Daddy, me, I sailed through that darkness like a speeding bullet. Y'all getting this yet? You say, why? That little girl knew she possessed. Amen. Are you listening? She knew I had the ability. Are you listening to me? Caleb got that mountain, and he got that possession. But you know what she said to her daddy? She said, Daddy, you have given me the Southland dry. But now, would you give me a spring of water?
Oh, come on now. This little girl's getting ready to have a means of irrigating that Southland. Amen. You see, it was a possession of Caleb, but he said it like John and Peter said it. Amen. Such as I have. Amen. Give I thee. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. And so he gave her the upper spring and the nether spring. Amen. To water that Southland. I tell you what. Amen. I wish somebody get on fire for God. Amen. And get some possessions in their life. Amen. And then look for somebody, amen, to give it to. I wish somebody say amen. How about that spring of water? Amen. How about old-time religion? I want to tell you something, brother. Amen. There is a fountain. Amen. There is a spring. Amen. You've got it in your soul. Why don't you share it with this lost and dying world? Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he reached down. Didn't he do it? He reached down. And as old Van Tavener wrote, he gave him the lift that lasts. You know anybody that needs to get up? Huh? Huh? Am I doing any good? Do you know anybody in this community needs a lift? Such as I have, give I thee. Let me help you up, brother. He lifted that guy up and he come up shouting. The Bible said he leaped up. I'd wake some of y'all wide awake. He leaped up. Do you think we need revival? I'm about done. Do you think we need revival? Huh? Do you think we need this lift? Do you think this dying world needs what you've got? Huh? Do you think they need it? Brother, when I think people have gone too far, all I have to do is go look in a mirror and I realize that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. When I look at people so deep down in the gutter, Brother Philip, and I think they'll never get out of that, and then I hear the Lord say, you came out. What have you got? I've got forgiveness of my sins. I've got power to live for the Lord, to be a child of God. I've got the grace of God in my life. Silver and gold, have I none? Big deal. We're talking about something more expensive than that. Huh? And this is what he said. Freely you have received. Now here's what I'm missing in the Holiness Church. Listen to me now. I'm on you. If you're wondering if I'm going to get on you tonight, I'm already on you. Huh? Listen. Here's the spirit, Brother Prescott, all across the country that I feel. Amen. People have lost the awareness of what they really possess. And the reason I know that is because when it comes time to give out, they're not giving out freely. I've been in churches where bad women went to the altar and hardly nobody would pray with them. I've been to camp meetings and meetings like this where, will y'all help me preach? I remember, and I may have told it here, and I'm going to hurry, but I remember going to a meeting and thousands of people there, open air tabernacle. I was preaching, the Holy Ghost had come on me, and I was so thankful. I was just hooting and a hollering and a bucking and a shucking and a preaching. And I'm telling you, I was enjoying myself preaching. I mean, after I got started, I was dreading it before. Lord have mercy. While I was preaching, just at the end, I saw a preacher that I knew. And the building is probably, I don't know, it may be 200 feet long. And I was going down through there shouting, and people were shouting. I was getting ready to make the altar call and call them on in. And I saw this preacher out in the dark, leaning on the hood of a car with his arms folded on the outside of the tabernacle. looking in. The Lord smote my heart right there and said, when you call this altar, you slip around in there and go talk to that man. I made the altar, everything settled down, and I went out the edge where nobody could see me, and I slipped right in beside of him, and I said, my dear brother, I just, the Lord pointed you out to me while I was preaching up there, and I could feel that on him. He was hurt so bad. Found out later he'd been voted out of a church just a few weeks before, and he went there, and he dropped his head when I went to him. He dropped his head, and he cried, and he said, brother, said, you won't believe what just come out across my mind. I looked up at you preaching and all them people shouting, and I said just a few minutes ago, I said, they're having a good time, but they don't even know I'm here. And I wouldn't doubt if that wasn't the very instant God said, look who's here. Huh? If he'd have needed $100, I'd have had to wait till they give him my offering, because I didn't have it. But all he needed was just what I had. What did you have? I had a heart that I knew God had cleansed and saved, and we're in this together. You come here tonight. Listen, church. This world is dying for a hand to reach out and reach down and lift up. Huh? How many knows I'm telling you? Do you have it? They said they didn't have to wonder. They said, such as I have. Oh, give I thee. That man leaped and shouted and ran into the temple. I don't guess he'd ever been in there, had he? Huh? He couldn't go in there, could he? Crippled, lame, at the gate, beautiful. Here he went in there leaping. Yeah. People was in wonder. I wonder where the wonder's gone. They were in amazement. Where has the amazement gone? We sing Amazing Grace now. But, you know, people say they have it and it don't change them now. What's amazing about this gushy grace that people preach today, and they take that grace and receive it in lasciviousness. And they do despite to the Spirit. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and right. That's the grace I know. What can you share with people? Amen. And brother, I've often wondered, you know, what do you say to lead somebody to the Lord? But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. If you've been saved, you know how to tell. You may not know where it's at exactly in the Bible even. You may not be able to take them down Romans Road. But you can say, I'm going to just tell you this. One night years ago, I took all I could take. I turned my troubles over to the Lord. And I believe if you'll try that, you know, I'll tell you what, we're not possessing. We're not really possessing what God wants us to have. And then when we do get it, we're not willing to give it away. Hallelujah. But I believe we're going to have revival. I'll tell you, I believe the church at Martinsville is on the move. I really do. I've been coming for years, and I feel like God is in this place. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. It's not a charismatic place. It's not a lightning bolt and a flash in the pan. Amen. But it's got a solid Bible teacher right here. Amen. It's got people that believe God. Amen. Come on now and believe holiness. And also they've got a love and a concern for the lost and dying world. I'll tell you what. Let's just get what God has freely gave us. And let's give it to this lost and dying world before it's too late. Will you stand everywhere? Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. First off, I want you to know what you have. How many is assured of what you have in your soul tonight? And then I want you to realize that you're going to run into somebody. Those old lawyers said, Brother Yates, they said, who is my neighbor anyway? They were trying to get around it. And he told a story about the man that had fallen among thieves. And you know what that good Samaritan done? Amen. He picked him up and put him on his own beast and took him and said, I'm going to take care of him. If I owe anything else when I come, I'll pay. I'll tell you, this world is dying. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it is not the hour of condemnation. For Christ come not into the world to condemn the world. Are you listening? but that the world through him might be saved. There's coming an hour of condemnation. There really is. There's going to come a day when the sheep and goats are going to be separated and your preaching is going to be in vain. You hear me? But it's not today. This is the day of grace. Do you have any? How many's got grace in your life? You may not have much anything else, but if you got grace, you've got something wonderful to share to this lost and dying world. Praise God. I don't really know what to say to you here. There's not a lot of room to pray. But let me ask you just a question or two, and then we're going to pray. We're living in an hour, Brother Roger, and I'm not being critical. Lord knows I'm not. I've preached for 30 years. And there's been times even in my latter year, these years, that I've wondered, what in the world have I had, what I needed to have? Do I still have what I ought to have? But I'm going to tell you what. Amen. If you're saved, you know it tonight. If you've got the grace of God, you know. We talk about having the Holy Ghost, but if you've really not seen the Holy Ghost evident in your life in quite a while, you may not have it. Huh? But if you have God in your life, there is so much you can do for this world. Because you have exactly what you need and what they need. Huh? Oh, feel the Holy Ghost in here. Bow your heads with me just a moment. I love these people, dear God. I love